Greetings. Guess who? The automatically deleted husband. Automatically deleted again. Just a couple things because I anticipate hopefully a good weekend, and I'll let you know about what happens post the weekend. But for the moment, as I ended the month, I looked at my totals for my jumping jacks, and you know, because obviously this is one of the important things in life. You know, I have my goal of a million jumping jacks over 5 years, and between 65 and 70. And it looks like if I keep the pace I have right now, it's going to be comfortably under 3 years. But what I found out today, because today I reached 519,000. but the thing I looked at is when you look at the months, you know, at kozlowski.org/jumpingjacks, when you look at the months, the first month I did it was 16,000. By the time I ended, that was February 2021. By the time I ended 2021, I did 33,000 for December. In 2022, I did just shy of 30,000 in February, you know, a shorter month. But otherwise, I've been above 30,000 every month. And in September, again, a shorter month, I did 35,000. So it's kind of like it's going up rather than going down. And so I did a quick calculation today, and I think I'm going to adjust my goal. I figured, well, I'll try to make it by 3 years. Well, I'm going to move it up by about 2 months. So 2 years, 10 months approximately, because I think I want to set my goal to do the 1 millionth jumping jack on my wife's birthday. You know, what can I say? I'm fond of her. And, you know, because in December of 2021, if you look at I did, and I think it's the only time I did this. On her day, on her birthday, I did for the first time 1,024 consecutive jumping jacks. You know, and that was kind of ridiculous. So why stop there? And I don't think they were the best form, but on December 24th, you know, Christmas Eve, I started the morning doing 2,048 continuous jumping jacks. I haven't repeated that. That was the epitome of ridiculous. But, you know, anyway, these are the important in life, right? Just for your reference, I want to review something from the scripture brought up yesterday. But, you know, one of the things that I've done a little bit more study on is, you know, because of the various events, the U.S. government has announced we're another multi-billion-dollar commitment to Ukraine to deliver 18 more HIMARS systems. And we think, oh, rah, rah, go Ukraine. And the issue is, it's just like that whole scam. It's to benefit the military-industrial complex, because the delivery schedule for this goes out for 3 years. So you're either going to, you've budgeted for these 18 systems over 3 years. You either got to keep the war going in order to continue this, or you're just going to build it, because the whole issue, nothing to do about winning a war. It's about making more money. You know, it's the whole reason the Afghan thing went on and on and on and on for over 20 years. It's a money pit. Well, this is what part of a very big part of Ukraine, which, by the way, that was formally signed. The leaders of the four districts showed up in Moscow, and, you know, those people plus Putin, so five people, they signed a document that's now officially, at least from a lot of countries' perspectives, that's part of Russia now. So the dynamics will be interesting. But the other thing that's very relevant to them is to find out more information, you know, because there's hints of this and so forth, you know, and again, it seems that the notable options on the sabotaging of Nord Stream 1 and 2, you know, obviously most people are pointing, or most of the West is pointing to Russia. There is the idea of Ukraine, because they have some involvement and they have means and motive. Russia has means, they don't have the motive. NATO as an entity has both means and motive. The U.S. specifically definitely has means and motive. And apparently some evidence is coming out. The elephant in the room, obviously, is the U.S. Besides the comment by Victoria Nuland in January and President Biden in February that the Nord Stream 2 will not happen, there is also there has been strong evidence, including lots of evidence, of the U.S. presence in the area where the sabotage took place over the last several months, as if it was being prepared. There's a growing body of evidence that the U.S. was specifically there doing a variety of things. It'll be interesting if, and again, I do think the analogy is strong of the 9/11 events and the Nord Stream sabotage events. The issue is, it's not as flashy, so it won't make the news like 9/11 did. But the circumstances around it, it'll be used for purposes other than what actually happened. Because obviously 9/11 gave us the Patriot Act, gave us a whole lot of money for the military-industrial complex. You know, it gave us excuses for lots of wars and the deaths of literally millions of people. And of course, helped us focus on that, even though a lot of our other objectives, again, was money in order to build up the heroin trade out of Afghanistan and things of that nature. You know, a lot of diversion. But this is a focus because of 9/11. And I think we're going to have the same kind of thing with the Nord Stream sabotage. There's going to have to be a better name for that. I don't know what it'll be called. But the issue is there. In the case of 9/11, the victims were, you know, obviously Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, they were probably the bigger tiny bit in Pakistan, but mostly Iraq and of course it did help act as a diversion for our incursion. We don't call it a war or an invasion; we'll call it an incursion. we're much more politer into Syria and so forth. And of course, when we went into Libya, had, you know, a lot of the same motivation, but. So because we had so many things all confused, that kind of got kind of pushed aside, didn't it? But anyway, I do wonder what will come out of this. And again, as I mentioned about standing with a whistleblower if there one comes out. Anyway, because there were a whole bunch for 9/11. The way you handle a whistleblower is either one, you eliminate him, you silence him, or you ignore him. And virtually, there's a dozen plus fairly major whistleblowers for 9/11. How many know of any of them? Anyway, but I did some research because I mentioned yesterday something far more important. Genesis 2:18, and you have a list of verses there in Genesis where you see, and the Lord God, or and Yahweh God, depending upon which English translation you have. And so, you know, I mentioned there's a similarity, but it's not as there's something odd that I caught. You know, because what you see in Genesis, let's say the LSV and Yahweh God and ESV, the Lord God, NASB, the Lord God, okay, because it is indeed the, in the Septuagint, the Lord, Kurios, and God, Theos. So you have the definite article and Kurios Theos. So it is the Lord God. When we read John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." That's the LSV. The ESV is, "And Thomas answered him, My Lord, my God." Well, okay, that sounds fine. But there's something more to it. And this is what, because it gets back to, I mentioned before when I did some research on Abba Father that we see several times, because it is actually Father, because the Abba is not Hebrew, it's Aramaic, and the Father is Greek. So it's Father, Aramaic and Greek, but it's Father the Father. And I you know, it's kind of like, okay, why the there? And I only saw it in like two translations where the is actually included. I asked a friend who knows some Greek, and he gave me some reasoning, and it's kind of like, I'm still troubled. So when you look at John 20:28, and you read it word for word in the Greek, it is the Lord of me and the God of me, my Lord and my God. But it's the Lord of me and the God of me. There is a definite article in there. And why aren't those things in the English translation? You know, I can see the Lord of me and the God of me. That's kind of clumsy English. But that's what it says. Isn't it? I mean, again, I would like to know why you wouldn't, why you would have the definite article, the in there, in the Greek, and not have it in the English. So why don't we say, instead of Abba Father, why didn't we translate the Aramaic into English and the Greek into English and use the definite article? So it would be Father the Father instead of Abba Father. Why? I understand that we would want to know that in the original text we do see two languages, so you want to have some way to convey that. But if you translated it completely to English, it's Father the Father. Why? I don't know why, and I want to know why, because it matters. you know, it's this curiosity, and then of course. Again, the words that I really love, my Lord and my God, from Thomas, which is consistent with the Lord God in what we see in Genesis. So you can see that when Thomas looked at Jesus, and what he said was, "You're the one that wrote Genesis. You're the one speaking that what we see in Genesis." When we see you know, the Lord God said, Thomas was looking at the person who was the Lord God saying. He was acknowledging that. But he said, the Lord of me and the God of me, again, in a direct word for word, why don't we see that? I don't know. See, one of the things, and I wonder about, you know, because again, if I ever get, Lord willing, to be able to focus on Shofar book, one of the things I want to do, and I played with it a little bit, but just because I don't have the time for this, because it gets kind of complicated. I want to be able to make it easy for somebody to look at a passage and read it in clean English, like in the ESV, the LSV, or whatever, but also read it in a very clear word for word so they can see this is what it is. And the issue then is go one step further to be able to see, you know, again, when I see a word, again, one of my favorites, again, the sun parakaleto. You see, okay, I see what I see in the English, you know, the mutually encourage or mutually comfort. I see that. But then now I want to be able to see, well, that's one word in the Greek, but the Greek is made up of three Greek words. And by seeing that, what concerns me is, especially over centuries, as I discuss how language is controlled, when you control the language, you can convey different ideas than what actually was said. You know, one of the examples I've used many times is if you go back like pre-1800s, the word anarchy meant without head, without leader. And it was the late 1800s, I think. I have to verify that date, but I think it's about that time when the additional meaning of violence was added, because now I can say, oh, this is in what we see is anarchy, and I can now say violence, even though that's without what the word means. It's a meaning that's been added onto it because the language changed. And the issue is, if I wrote something, you know, 500 years ago and happened to use that word, I would have been using it in a different context. You know, and obviously this becomes very applicable, again, the obvious, where we see the word church, because you go back to like pre-1300s, pre-1400s, approximately. The ecclesia was translated as assembly or congregation. And it was, I think, the Bishop's Bible that first used the word church, and then obviously King James made it very official to use church, and it gives a different connotation. And this is true with lots of other words. But if what is actually being said, and I want to make sure to remove not only the bias that has been put in, but my bias. So I want to be able to put the tools in place so somebody can say, oh, I see. Well, again, the John 20:28, the Lord of me and the God of me. Instead of my Lord, my God. I want to make it easy for somebody to see that. Because there may be something purposely or accidentally that has been lost, you know, literally lost in translation. And maybe somebody would say, okay, I see something that I didn't see because I didn't see it in the translation I was using. I want to do that. We'll see. I anticipate a bit busy weekend and hopefully have some wonderful things to share. I did have a visit when my milk and eggs were dropped off and had some good laughs. That was encouraging. And of course, you know, tomorrow at minimum, the farmer's market, maybe other things. I want to be able to share hopefully good news with my family Monday. I'd rather do it every day. I used to. I want to so much again. I can't express. I'm finding great joy in the examining of Scripture that I do now, because I do it in a depth I've never done before. In a sense, I'm finding, I don't know if joy is the right word, or interest or whatnot, a real concern about my observing of the things of this world. You know, well, for example, what's happening with the Nord Stream and Ukraine is the issue, COVID was the issue, and, you know, so many other things have been the issue. You know, I've studied a lot, for example, on what happened in Syria and all those kind of things. You know, I can tell you about Yemen, I can tell you about Senegal, I can tell you about Nigeria, and a tiny bit about Venezuela. But anyway, and, you know, and Kashmir, a little bit of Pakistan, somewhat of India, and of course, Myanmar, you know, where we all are, keep that in the forefront of our minds. And then, of course, I have pictures of a man here from Vietnam, you know, just normal stuff. Yeah, I'm grateful that I can do that in the depth that I do. I'd rather give it all up to embrace my kids. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I do love you and I want you back.